There's an old story, old sailor story. According to the story, there was a sailor who became shipwrecked on a South Sea island. As the story goes, this man decided that he was going to try to work things out with some natives. Natives captured him and took him to the village. He expected to be killed, but instead of being killed, the natives put him on a crude throne. Didn't take him long to figure out that they'd made him king. Little by little, this fellow began to understand what was involved. He eventually realized that after a year, the person who had been made king was banished to a desert island, a barren island, where he was starved to death. Well, the sailor didn't think that that was a very positive outcome for his life, and he wanted to change the outcome. So he decided, since he was king, he would put his subjects to work on that barren island, where he would be banished in a year. He had his subjects plant crops, fruit trees, and he made that barren environment, that barren island, a hospitable, a habitable place. There are some kings. There are some rulers who are wise, and they do well. Other rulers, other kings, do not do so well. For a time, the nation of Israel had God as their king. But if you were here present last Sunday, we had some information to say about Samuel. And you may remember that Samuel was someone who finally helped Israel get a human king. That wasn't God's will, but that's what the people wanted. And Samuel was finally involved with helping bring a man by the name of Saul to the throne. As you look at Saul, our first impression, 1 Samuel chapter 9, is positive. There were animals that were lost, and Saul is someone who's willing to go out and search for them. After Saul's been out searching for those animals for a while, he realizes, he thinks that his father's going to be concerned about him being gone so long. That also speaks well of him. And the suggestion is eventually set forth that there is this seer, there is this prophet named Samuel, and maybe we could go, the fellow who is with Saul, maybe we could go and get the seer's help. Maybe Samuel could assist us. And as you look at that part of the story, Saul is respectful of Samuel's position. As you look at the scripture that was read by Michael a few minutes ago, you find that there was humility, at least at this time, this point in time in Saul's life. So there are, as we look at Saul's life, at least in the beginning, a number of reasons, multiple reasons for concluding that he did not start out as a bad guy. We're asked to keep our Bibles open to the place where Michael read from, and if you did that, let's go to that next chapter. Let's see what we find in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 6. 1 Samuel 10, looking at verse 6. The Spirit of Jehovah will come mightily upon thee, that of course would be Saul, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man. This is a promise from Samuel to Saul, and it is a significant promise. Samuel said to Saul, there's going to come a spirit upon you, and this spirit is going to be the Spirit of Jehovah. He says God's Spirit is not only going to come upon you, God's Spirit is going to come upon you mightily. This is going to be a significant thing. The end of verse 6 says you're going to be turned into another man. And then in verse 7, we have here God's promise. God said through Samuel that I'm going to be with you. Verse 7, and let it be when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion shall serve thee, for God is with thee. God's Spirit is not only going to come upon you, God is going to be with you. Well, that's an important promise. We know that God does not break his word. And what Samuel said was correct. As we think about Saul, he was told in the clearest possible terms that God was going to be with him and that he was going to be with him in a great and in a wonderful way. If we're a Christian, it's true that there is a similar promise for us. God says he's going to be with us. You may remember that as Jesus closes out some time with the apostles in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, that same promise is made. Jesus said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you till the end of the age or the end of the world. Now, hearing that promise, knowing about that promise is great. Someone says, I'm a Christian. I become a child of God. God is going to be with me. That is a wonderful thing. And maybe if we're a Christian, we believe that promise. And we believe that promise for a number of years. But one day, maybe it's today. Maybe it's tomorrow. Maybe it's at the end of this coming week. Maybe it's going to be in a month or a year or 10 years. One day in our Christian life, pressure, some type of pressure comes. Maybe it's going to be pressure from a job, the pressure to get a job, the pressure to keep a job, the pressure to leave a job for another job. Maybe that pressure that we're going to face is going to be family related. Maybe it's going to be pressure because there is a health concern related to us or a family member. Maybe it's going to be pressure because of a death. But for one reason or another, at some point in our life, there's going to be pressure that comes up. And with that pressure, we're going to feel squeezed. We're going to feel like we've been put into a vise. And as we're being pressed, as we're being squeezed, as perhaps we feel like we're being shoved in various directions, we begin to wonder, where's God? A fellow Christian may come along and say, oh, I know that you're being squeezed. I know that this is a difficult time. I know that you're under a lot of pressure. Just trust in God. Well, when we hear those words, they sound so shallow. And we think, perhaps in our mind, if you were in my shoes, you wouldn't say that. Almost like the book of Job. God said, just like to Saul, I'm going to be with you. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. But even though he makes that promise, what about the times when that pressure is there and it seems to get just greater and greater? If and when that happens to you, and it's probably not if and when, it's probably when it does happen. Go back and study the life of Saul in the book of 1 Samuel. You see, Saul has this great promise that we read about. I'm going to be with you. The Spirit of Jehovah is with you. But as you look at Saul's life, what's he begin to find? What's he begin to face? Saul is someone who begins to face pressure. And not just some pressure, or not just a lot of pressure, a great deal of pressure. Before we leave the chapter where we were, 1 Samuel chapter 10, let's see what we've got in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 8. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal. And behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and offer sacrifices of peace offerings. This is Samuel. You hang out there. I'm going to come down. I'm going to offer these sacrifices. When? 7 days thou shalt tarry that week, till I come unto thee and show thee what thou must do. At this point in his life, Saul must have felt pretty good. He's been selected as not just king, but he's been selected as Israel's first king. The kingdom is united. God is going to be with him. Samuel's going to show up. Everything seems great. Moving to 1 Samuel chapter 11, we find God's Spirit coming mightily upon Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 6. That's what God promised. 1 Samuel chapter 10. And that's exactly what was done. This chapter ends by saying Saul and the people of Israel were in a very joyful state. At this point, things look pretty good. In 1 Samuel 12, though, things look a little less favorable. Samuel calls the people together. And Samuel tells the people, I'm old. I'm old. Samuel said to the people, I've tried to live a righteous life. I've tried to do what was right during my years on this earth. And Samuel, this prophet, this priest, this fellow who's been helping Israel, he gives God's people some warnings. And then he says in 1 Samuel chapter 12, I hope I can get through the entire reading. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 16 through 25, he says there, it's time to see a display of God's power. Now therefore stand still and see this great thing, which Jehovah will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto Jehovah that he may send thunder and rain, and ye may know and see that your wickedness is great, the wickedness that you've done in the sight of Jehovah in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto Jehovah, and Jehovah sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared Jehovah and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto Jehovah thy God that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king. Verse 20. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have indeed done all this evil. Yet turn not aside from following Jehovah, but serve Jehovah with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then would ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. Verse 22. For Jehovah will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased Jehovah to make you a people unto himself. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against Jehovah in ceasing to pray for you. But I will instruct you in the good and the right way. Only fear Jehovah and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider the great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both you and your king. Well, as we look at the reading here, we find that Samuel had some important things to say. The people thought that they were going to die. But as we look at the text, we find that the people lived through it. And for the most part, at this point in the book of 1 Samuel, things are okay. 1 Samuel, as we move a little more deeply into the book, we have some additional information about Saul's reign. This chapter is also an example of Saul beginning to face that great pressure I mentioned earlier. In 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 8, you remember that 7-day week? The 7 days? Samuel said, you go to Gilgal. And Saul, you wait for me. You're there in Gilgal, you wait the 7 days, and I'm going to show up. And Saul, when I come, I'm going to be there in Gilgal. I'm going to offer the appropriate sacrifices. 1 Samuel 13 verse 8 says that Saul had waited 7 days. He's on day 7. He's waiting. He has some people with him. 1 Samuel 13 and verse 7, and the people are trembling. The people are scared. The people are frightened. The people are terrified. There's pressure on Saul, and that pressure is mounting and mounting and mounting and mounting. Where is Samuel? He's not showed up. This guy needs to be here. Saul's under the gun. He's feeling the tension. The heat is on this guy. Finally, Saul feels like he's got to act. 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 9. And Saul said, bring hither the burnt offering to me. To me, not to Samuel. To me. And the peace offerings. And he, that would be Saul, offered the burnt offering. Saul was not authorized to offer these sacrifices. But he sees, so to speak, the clock ticking. Samuel hasn't come. And it looks like he's not going to show up before the end of that seventh day. And Saul, feeling that pressure, feeling that tension, he feels like the pressure is so great, and he offers the sacrifices. Would you like to guess what's said in 1 Samuel 13 and verse 10? And it came to pass, as soon as he made an end of the offering, he just finished it up. And the Bible says Samuel came. Saul goes out to meet him, that he might salute him. Well, what did Saul do? He felt that pressure and he decided that he had to act. He felt like he was compelled to do something, and that's exactly what he did. Making a wrong decision under pressure does not fix anything. Sometimes it might delay the inevitable. Sometimes it might offer a little temporary relief. But almost always things get worse. Well, as I mentioned, like today, Saul felt like he just had to act. There was pressure. And if he didn't do something, and he didn't do something quickly, everything was going to be lost. Well, let's continue the story, verses 11 and 12. And Samuel, he came, just as he said he was going to come. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? Good question. Well, here's what Saul says. Because, he tries to justify it, I saw that the people were scattered from me. And he said, you didn't come within the day appointed. Well, that wasn't true. You didn't come. And the Philistines assembled themselves together at Michmash. Therefore, said I, now will the Philistines come down unto me on Gilgal. I have not entreated the favor of Jehovah. I forced myself, therefore, and offered the burnt offering. So he essentially says the pressure was great. The pressure was too much. The tension was really getting to me. And I felt that I just had to do this. What did Samuel have to say to that? Verses 13 and 14. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of Jehovah thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would Jehovah have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. 14. But now the kingdom shall not continue. Jehovah hath sought him a man after his own heart. And Jehovah hath appointed him to be prince over his people, because thou hast not kept that which Jehovah commanded thee. Two chapters later, we have a very well-known story about Saul and some people known as the Amalekites. These people were heathens. They needed to be dealt with, and Saul was supposed to deal with them. But if you will recall the story, Saul did not complete the job. Samuel confronts Saul about this matter, and once again, Saul says, well, the pressure was just too great, the tension was too high, and I just had to act in a way contrary to God's commandment. 1 Samuel 15, from that chapter, let's see what we find in verse 24. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. He didn't know what God said, and he recognizes that. He said, I did wrong. For I have transgressed the commandment of Jehovah and thy words, because why? I feared the people. There was that great pressure, and I obeyed their voice. In the next chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 14, we're told that God's spirit left Saul. In place of that righteous spirit, God's spirit, a bad spirit came. Having that evil spirit come, losing the spirit of God, was surely something else that contributed to ongoing pressure when we look at the life of Saul. Then in 1 Samuel 17, who shows up? Goliath. You want to talk about being under pressure? You're king. You've got this giant that is challenging the armies of Israel. That was a time of pressure. The chapter after this, 1 Samuel chapter 18, describes how Saul became jealous of David. That was more pressure. The pressure mounts on Saul even more. In 1 Samuel chapter 19, you have Saul now trying to take the life of David. And then, by the time of 1 Samuel chapter 28, Saul consults a medium to communicate with the dead. Our world, as we look at it, has as much pressure and perhaps even more respects than what we find in the life and time of Saul. And as we deal with that pressure, as we face that pressure on an ongoing basis, maybe even daily for some, the question becomes, how do we deal with that pressure? When the tensions of life ratchet up, how are we to address that? When we think about our young people, the pressure that they face in school from peers, how do we deal with that kind of pressure? How do we help them? How do they deal with it? Well, the world has some suggestions. I did a little looking as far as how do you deal with pressure. And pulling some help from the net, some said, well, number one, you should ask for help. You should go to others and see if they can assist you. Somebody else said you should be organized. If you're more organized, that's going to help you deal with pressure. Another suggested that we take care of our physical and our mental being. Others proposed you just need to learn better breathing techniques to deal with pressure. Some said that you need to focus on gratitude. If you're more appreciative, if you're more thankful, especially this time of year, that's going to help you deal with pressure. Some say deal with pressure in advance. Think about the things that you're going to face. Think about the things that you're going to have to endure. Be flexible. Take time away. All those ideas may have benefit. Each of those ideas may have some merit. But may I suggest to us that the best way, the most effective way, to deal with that kind of pressure which makes a person feel like I've got to do something and maybe that's not the right choice, is found in the life of Saul. Where did we start? Remember? This fellow received that promise from God. I will be with you. Saul should have remembered that promise. Saul should have accepted that promise. Saul should have lived by that promise. God said, I will be with you. And when that time of pressure came, he should have remembered, God is going to be with me. And even though it looks like the clock is counting down, even though it looks like Samuel is not going to show up by the designated time, you keep the faith. You believe that God is going to be with you. Had he done that, it would have worked out. But he didn't do that. We need to remember that promise in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. Jesus said, I will be with you. How long, Lord? Till the end of the age. Till the end of time. I will be with you. Our job, if we're a Christian, is to remember that promise. And our job is to apply that promise. Remembering the promise is not the hard part. I think all people say, well, yes, I remember that information there in Matthew chapter 28. I know that God is going to be with me. Well, great, you remember it. Now the hard part is putting it into practice. When that pressure comes in your life, and it will, as a young person, as some was who's maybe in the later years, remember that God will be with you. We need to, as we discussed in this morning's Bible class, do all that we possibly can. We have a part. We have a responsibility. And once we've done all that we can, and in Saul's case it was waiting faithfully, then we need to have confidence. Then we need to have faith in God's deliverance. And sometimes, as we're in that pressure cooker situation, the clock is going to get awfully close to the time where it looks like God is not going to deliver, that God is not going to show up, that promise, I will deliver you, is not going to be fulfilled. And the temptation then can be, I've got to do something else, maybe something that's wrong, sinful, maybe take an unauthorized action, because God has not acted. God knows where the clock is. God's able to keep time. God's able to see that pressure mount and mount. And oftentimes, if we had waited just a tad longer, we would have seen the deliverance of God. But all too often, we let panic set in. There's a lack of faith, and God is not able to do what he's promised to do. It is one more example of us learning to walk by faith and not by sight. When we're walking by sight, we're watching the clock, thinking, oh, it's got to be fixed, it's got to be fixed, it's got to be fixed. God's not going to help. Walk by faith. That is, I think, one of the toughest lessons for any person who becomes a Christian to understand and follow on a regular basis. Work on, as you finish out this year, and as you prepare for a new year, work on truly relying on God. Tackle the daily pressures of life by reminding yourself that you are a child of God, and God is with you. This morning, are we that child of God who tries to walk by faith instead of by sight? Are we someone who, when those pressures come up, we think, I've got to fix this, and God sort of gets relegated to the back seat, if that close to us? This morning, we hope not. We hope that you are someone who, as we sometimes sing about, is a person who's living by faith. The words in that song are so important, so meaningful. Do we apply them? We've believed, we've repented, we've confessed, we've been baptized, we're trying to live the best Christian life that we can from a moral standpoint. But are we really trying to walk by faith? So many don't. And if that's true of you, will you not give consideration to the right way and try to start pursuing that beginning today? If we can help you in that way, we can help you become a Christian or some other. Let us know about your need now as we stand and sing the selected song.